Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in our church and what you're doing throughout this land. And Lord, we've been praying for revival. And Lord, we want to see every church grow in this country. We want to see all the churches in the United States of America have a great revival and see people saved and baptized and we want to see great things happen, Lord. But as you're going to show us today, we want to do it the right way. There's a way to grow a church and there's a way not to grow a church. And you're going to show us in this lesson today just the wrong way and the right way. And so it's important for us to see this. And in the mix of this text, Lord, we're also going to see the great story of Christmas and about your coming and what a great event that is and how it impacts our lives. We're just blessed by your word, and we ask you to especially bless us today, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name that I pray. Amen. You know, there are a lot of people out there who have a business that will tell you how to grow your church. There's all sorts of church growth gurus. I get emails all the time, phone calls all the time, and they've got all these different ways. If you want to have a mega church, this is how you do it. D. Hayward gives the following 7 essentials if you want your church to become a mega church. Listen to what you've got to do. You've got to have superb programs. You've got to have a posh building. Hey, we got a pretty posh building, don't we? Well, sort of. You got to have superb music. Well, we certainly have superb music. You got to have positive messages. You never teach anything negative. You've got to have coffee and snacks before the service. Who wants to take that over, that particular thing? Okay, you got to have coffee and snacks before the service. And those are some of the main things, but there's some peripheral issues that you've got to have. You've got to have plenty of parking. We got plenty of parking. You've got to have Disney-like entertainment for the children, and never, never are you to allow your service to go over an hour. Good luck with that, right? The church growth guy, there's a guy called the church growth guy. He says that the most effective way to bring people in the church is through the media, through radio, having your services on radio, advertisements on radio, TV, have great signage. We've got great signage. Mail outs. And then more than anything else, you're to make your services entertaining. They should be very entertaining. Now, Outreach Magazine, which is probably the largest of these groups that provide supplies for church growth, Outreach Magazine suggests that one of the best ways to grow your church is to have a themed message series. And they even suggest that when you have these series, that the pastor should wear a costume that reflects the message of the series. So if you're preaching on law, the pastor should wear a policeman's suit, a uniform. Now, I know what you're thinking, that ain't gonna happen. Now, most of the Calvary Chapel pastors of the mega churches wear Hawaiian shirts. Maybe that's what I'm missing. Maybe I need to wear a Hawaiian shirt. But no, we know better than that. Whatever happened to what Paul says, preach the word in season and when? Out of season. Whatever happened to what Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, when he said all men, did he mean every human being who's ever lived? No, all the men who are going to come into the kingdom of God, all the men and women who are going to get saved. I will, if you will lift me up, I will, who draws them? The pastor? No, I will draw them unto me. Whatever happened to the way the early church did it, and they grew, and the way they did it, and I'm reading from Acts, they continued steadfast in the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship of the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That was their method. Now let me read that again. They continued steadfast in the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship of the breaking of the bread, and in prayers. Look, there's nothing wrong with having a nice building. There's nothing wrong with having a great children's ministry. There's nothing wrong with having plenty of parking when people come, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But as John's going to make it clear today, appealing to the flesh is not the way you grow a church. The way you grow a church, the real church grows when it grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying, and this is not what I'm saying, I'm not saying, well, we're a small church, so we're a good church. And I've heard people say that. You can't be a big church and be a good church. I'm not saying that mega churches are bad. I'm not saying that at all. Take a look at your picture of your bulletin that David put on there today. And look at those two churches that you see on the bulletin. I mean, you see one mega church. Somewhere here it is. You see one mega church and you see this poor little guy preaching to one person. Now, is that little guy preaching to one person a great pastor? I don't know. He might be a terrible pastor, and that's why he's only got one person listening. He might be a terrible preacher. But he might be a great preacher, and there's just nobody there that wants to hear the truth. He might be preaching out of season. I remember, and I've shared this with you before, I remember years ago going to visit Brenda's grandparents, and they lived way out in the country near Waynesboro. And there was a little gravel road that led to their house about 5 miles before you got to their house. And about 3 miles into the trip, there was this little white Baptist church sitting there on that gravel road way out in the country. Probably didn't seat more than 30 people. And I told Brenda, you know, it'd be kind of fun. We were going to be there on Sunday. I said, it'd be kind of fun to go listen to this pastor. I figured he was going to be terrible. Just absolutely terrible. Who would pastor a little church on a gravel road way out in the country? And we went, and I got to tell you, it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. It was me and my wife and about two other couples. And I thought, boy, how faithful is that guy to the Lord? Here he is. I mean, he's not getting any accolades. I mean, he's not making any money, obviously, teaching in that kind of to that kind of congregation. And there he is out on this gravel road and giving his very best unto the Lord. Now, I've been in some churches on gravel roads way out in the country, and I've heard the preachers, and you understand why they're preaching on a church in a gravel road way out in the country. They're terrible. I've been to some mega churches where the preaching is absolutely fantastic. I mean, you love to hear that pastor. You love to listen to him exposit the word verse by verse. I mean, Chuck Smith was one of those, a great preacher. But then I've been to some mega churches. I haven't been to them. I've watched them on TV. I've seen some on TV where they don't spit out anything but heresy. And so you can't measure a church by its size, and you can't measure a church's growth unless it's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And John's going to speak to us on this subject a little bit or indirectly as we look at 1 John chapter number 3 and then go into chapter number 4. So go with me to chapter number 3 and look down at verse number 24 and listen to what he says. He says, now he who keeps his commandments, whose commandments? Jesus's commandments. He who keeps his commandments abides in him. In other words, you live with Christ if you keep his commandments. We saw that last week. He went through that whole doctrine last week. He says, and if you don't keep his commandments, you're not of him. He who keeps his commandments abides in him and Jesus in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. See, the real church grows when we keep his commandments. And what are his commandments? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments here? No, that's not what he's talking about. There's two commandments John gave us. What were those two commandments? That we believe on the name of Jesus Christ and that we love one another. And that's really not two commandments. That's only one commandment. Because if Christ abides in you And Christ is love, and how does he abide in you? He abides in you when you believe in him. So when you believe in Christ, Christ comes to live in you, Christ in you, your hope of glory. He comes to live in you, he abides in you, and Christ is love. And so if Christ is truly in you, love abides in you. And so you naturally love one another. You can't be filled with hate if Christ lives in you, because he's not hate, he's love. Now, I gotta say this, you still have a hateful old flesh. You still got a nasty, mean old flesh. But you know that there's something in you that's better than that flesh. And that's the divine seed that God has given you. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 4. We move into chapter 4 now and look at verse number 1. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Beloved, he's speaking to the born-again believers. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. You know, just because you're at a mega church doesn't mean you're at the right place. Just because you're at a small church doesn't mean you're at the wrong place. He says, test the spirits, whether they are of God. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They were out there in John's day, and they're out there in our day. There's many, many false prophets who have gone out into the world. Two types of spirits have gone out into the world. The spirit of God, which is the spirit of truth, and the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of error, which is the spirit of the devil. So there's two types of spirits out there. There's two types, which means there's two types of churches out there. And he's speaking in terms of the church. He's speaking to the beloved. Don't be fooled by these false teachers, these false prophets, these antichrists. Don't let them fool you, because some are of God and some are of the antichrist and of the devil. I mean, the spirit of Christ speaks through men of God. The spirit of the false prophets and teachers speaks through ungodly men. People who claim to be prophets, who claim to be of God, but are antichrist. You know exactly what Paul warned us about over in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Remember what he said? You don't have to flip there now. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times. Now, what are the latter times? We've talked about the last days. The last days began at Pentecost, and they will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Whenever you see the latter times in the Bible, you're talking about the very last days. And guess what? You're living in the very last days. So he says, in the last days, some, or in the latter times, not the last days, some will depart from faith and give heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. In other words, they're going to church and they're listening to the doctrine of demons instead of the doctrines of God. They're deceiving spirits, and they're out there and they're trying to dupe the masses with a false gospel and a false doctrine. And so all of us, every single person who calls himself a Christian, is to test the spirits, whether they are of Christ or whether they are of Antichrist. You should do that right here. I mean, you should look at me and say, he's of Christ or he's of Antichrist. Now, how do we do that? How do we test those spirits? John's going to give us, I believe, the mother of all tests here in a minute. But A.W. Tozer does a very good job of giving these tests of whether or not a church is of the spirit of Christ or of the spirit of Antichrist. Listen to these tests that he gives. And David's going to put these up on the screen so you can kind of follow them with me. and maybe help you assimilate what he's saying here. Listen to what he's, the first test. He says, how does the teaching of the church affect my relationship with God? Is the Lord magnified and glorified, or is he diminished? Any service that doesn't magnify the Lord, that diminishes the glory of the Lord in any form of fashion, is anti-Christ. It's of the spirit of error. So that's a great test. Does your pastor, does the teacher you're listening to on the radio or on TV, do they glorify themselves, or do they glorify Jesus Christ? Is he magnified or is he diminished? Any pastor that lifts himself up and makes himself the main thing, he is diminishing. He's putting Christ second to him. Get as far away from that person as you possibly can. They're on TV. Don't send them any money. Send it here. No, I'm teasing. The second question he raises, how does the teaching of the church affect my attitude towards Jesus Christ? Does it magnify him, which is real similar to the first question, and give him first place? Or does it subtly shift my focus unto myself and on some personal experience? You know, there are so many people who go to church for a personal experience instead of going to bless God. You know, we always are talking about getting blessings from God. You know what God wants from us when we come to church? He wants us to bless him. And we should be blessing him by what we do in our services. If it's not about blessing him and it's all about us having some kind of personal experience where we bark or we laugh or we roll around on the ground and get high, that's not of the Lord. That is of Antichrist. The third question, or the third test that he raises in the form of a question is, how does the teaching of the church affect my attitude toward Scripture? Well, that's very important. You know, if you go to a church where they never mention the Bible, they talk more about Dr. Phil than they talked about Dr. Jesus, you're at the wrong church. I mean, does the teaching come from and agree with the Word? Or does it increase and... If it agrees with the Word, then, hey, that's good. Does it increase my love for His Word? Let me tell you what. If you're a child of God, you love the Word of God. If you're right here today and you don't love the Word of God, you're not a child of God. It's your food. You love the Word of God like a baby loves milk. It's a natural thing if you've been born again. You love the Word. But what happens when you come and break this bread as a group in fellowship, it increases your love for the Word. It should. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong. Go find another church. It should make you want to get into the Word. Then number four, now he's going to really start stepping on toes here. How does the teaching affect my self-life? Does it feed my pride? Is it a church that makes me the thing? Is it all about making me happy? Or does it feed my humility? You know, I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, we were at lunch, and said, man, I love coming to your church because I always feel bad when I leave. And I said, what? I said, well, it always convicts me. I'm always convicted. And I always feel bad. I said, well, that's not my intention. I believe in, you know, lifting you up and encourage you in Jesus Christ. But there is this thing that it should make you feel humble. It should make you feel convicted. And he's going to kind of say that in the next one. Look at number five or in the next couple of questions here, test. And number five, he says, how does it affect my relationship to other Christians? Does it cause me to withdraw and find fault and exalt myself? Or does it lead me into genuine love for all that truly know Christ? That's part of the conviction, isn't it? You know, I'll tell you what, when I'm studying through John and he says, hey, you're not born again if you don't love others. I mean, it kind of convicts me that I don't love people enough and that we should show more love for one another. And that's the message of the Bible. Jesus said, this commandment, one commandment I give you, that you love one another. A new commandment, he says, that you love one another. And I got news for you. If you love the Lord, you're going to love one another. That's why the Ten Commandments are all about loving the Lord and loving one another. Jesus summed them up. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commandments. It's all about loving other people. It's loving God and loving other people. And that the Bible's full of that. And so if you're teaching the Bible, that's what you're going to hear each week. Then the sixth test that he gives, how does the teaching of the church affect my relationship with the world? Does it lead me to pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Then it's the spirit of error if it does that. In other words, does it lead us to pursue the world, or does it lead us to pursue Christ? If I get up here every week and you come out here and say, man, I can't wait to go.